And loving God, I just ask that you would draw near to us during this time. I pray that your presence would be richly felt as we look into this passage, as we ponder its significance and meaning for our lives today, as we continue in this journey of Advent. In Christ's name, amen. This year during the Advent season, we have been invited to think openly about this theme of being on a journey and daring to imagine what the journey is like and daring to imagine what the destination is like. When we take a journey from our homes, perhaps to visit family who lives at a distance, there are things that we do to prepare for such a journey. We might have our car serviced so that it is safe and able for the journey. We'll undoubtedly choose the course for the journey and perhaps make hotel reservations along the way. And if you're like I was with our boys, we always made a reservation where there was a pool, and that was the carrot at the end of the stick to get us through another hour of the journey. We may make sure, depending on the weather, whether or not we have products with us in case there's problems. And of course, we have to pack and pack and pack. All the time, imagining and thinking about what the journey will be like, and imagining and pondering what the destination will be like. As we prepare for spiritual journeys, those movements of the soul from one place to another, what do we do to prepare for such a journey? What do we take with us? On the first Sunday of Advent, we were reminded that so often when we make spiritual journeys, those journeys from one place or experience to another, that quite often we have to dare to imagine the goodness of God and to trust in God's goodness to move us from this place to a new place. Last week, Clyde reminded us that during these journeys, we can trust in the embrace of God to welcome us and hold us and guide us. Well, in our passage this morning, the people of Israel have made both the literal and the spiritual journey from the land of exile in Babylon to the land of freedom in Jerusalem. And in this text and in all the other Advent texts for this Sunday, there is a focus on this theme of joy. It is in joy that the people of God have been liberated from the land of exile and restored to their home in the promised land. This joy is reflected in the people singing songs to God and literally rejoicing in those streets that were devoid of those sounds, and those people are filled with those sounds of joy and gladness. The response of the people to this spiritual and literal journey from oppression and injustice to freedom and peace is a spontaneous combustion of joyful song. Of course, this response of rejoicing in God, who led them to freedom, is nothing new. In the book of Exodus, after God had liberated the people from slavery in the land of Egypt, Miriam and Moses, we are told, paused by the Red Sea to rejoice in the grace and the power of God. They had been moved from one literal and spiritual experience to a new literal and spiritual experience. And their response to that was to rejoice in God. We witness similar responses when the people of God suffer oppression and are set free. Whether it was King David or one of the prophets or a widow and her son, when God's people make a journey from an experience of oppression and darkness to an experience of peace and freedom, we're told over and over again in Scripture that their response is one of joyful song. But this response to God moving us from one literal and spiritual experience to another literal and spiritual experience is not limited to issues of injustice and suffering being followed by restoration. When King David had sinned against God in Psalm 32, he literally said he felt like he was in a slimy pit that he could not climb out of. What a powerful metaphor for his spiritual experience. And in many regards, his literal experience, if you can imagine trying to climb up a slimy pit and just always sliding back in and having that sense of hopelessness and fear that you will simply never get out of this place of darkness. But David found that way through confession and the experience of forgiveness. And what is it that we're told he does? He enters into the place of worship and sings joyful songs to God. He had experienced a spiritual journey from a place of darkness to a place of hope. And in that experience, he worshiped and praised God. One of the most interesting aspects of our reading from Zephaniah is that the people of God were not the only ones who were singing songs of joy. The people of God were not the only ones who were responding to this journey from darkness to light by rejoicing in song. You see, in Zephaniah, the rejoicing of the people actually mirrors the rejoicing that is taking place in heaven. In Zephaniah, we are told that God is hovering over the people and God is rejoicing over them. God is singing songs of joy over the people. God was glad. God was happy with God's people. And God responded by rejoicing over them. I wonder if you have ever felt that God was singing over you. Have you ever felt that God was rejoicing over you? We rejoice in God because of all that God does for us. And because of who God is, we rejoice in God. But here in Zephaniah and in other places, it is God who is rejoicing over the people. Have you ever experienced that deep spiritual feeling that God is rejoicing over you, that God is singing songs of joy over you? Have you ever known that you have wandered far from God's will for your life and come back into relationship with God and felt God singing songs of joy over you? I have mentioned before that for 4 summers, we had a young boy from
through an organization called Children of Chernobyl. His name was Sasha, and even though Sasha was a very bright young boy, he suffered from continual exposure to the radiation that happened as a result of the Chernobyl nuclear accident. Because of the patterns of the wind and the weather at that time, the Ukraine, which is where Chernobyl was located, was largely untouched. It was the Gomelsky region of Belarus that was decimated by this black rain. And he continued from his birth to live in what has been declared the single most toxic environment in the world. When he would come and visit us, the color of his eyes, the pigmentation of his skin, the way in which this 8-year-old boy, that's how old he was, when in desperation his parents sent him to us without even knowing us. He walked like an 80-year-old. But within weeks, you could see the eyes beginning to change and the pigmentation of his skin beginning to change. And he began to run and to play with our boys. By the fourth year he came, the change was less and less significant because of how much his body had built up immunity just during those 12 weeks in the summer. It was remarkable. And I remember the last time he left out of Youngstown Airport. This would have been before September 11th. All of the host families were standing in one area, and just on the other side, as the children began to board the plane, we sang over, "God be with you till we meet again." We sang songs of hope and joy over those children as they boarded that plane. And in my heart, I knew that other than on Facebook, I would never see Sasha. 2 years later, we went on a family service trip to Argentina. We were in Chuelachuel, and we had brought resources with us that were enough for them to, for the most part, finish the construction of two churches in surrounding villages and to do significant repairs that needed to be done, not only to their churches, but also to a strip of apartments that they owned that they just simply leased for free to the poor. It was, for us as a family, one of the most deeply moving and spiritual experience to come alongside these people and work with them and support them as they also minister to us. I can tell you, as I knew our 12 weeks was coming to a close, my heart was so heavy. All I could think of was returning to all administrative responsibilities of my work at Grace Mennonite and its relationship with Bluffton University. And I knew the stack was going to be so high. I was just so heavy-hearted. And as we were boarding the bus to drive from Chuelachuel north to Buenos Aires, 12 hours. As we were preparing to leave, Juan Sieber some of the elders and members of the congregation saying over us. And for me, it was if heaven came down and just simply kissed the earth. All of my fear, all of my anxiety, everything evaporated as they sang in Spanish, "God be with you till we meet again." I felt so ministered to, because as they were singing in my mind's eye, I knew God was singing over them and singing over us. Everything was going to be okay. Didn't change that stack, but it changed how I imagined, how I understood it, and my willingness to be prepared. Have you ever experienced God singing over? I think if we quiet our hearts and we listen intently, I think we can hear that God is always singing over. Whether it's comfort when we're broken, or forgiveness when we've sinned, or joy because we're walking in the way God wants us to walk. No matter what the journey is, God is with us, and God is singing over us.